Okay, thank you, Angela. So this webinar today is done in cooperation between Abrams Consulting and 2Secure. So my name is Igal Behar, and I'm going to take over now and put the slide into motion and slide and from beginning. Okay. So I hope everybody can see my screen. So we're going to talk about ransomware readiness and actually how you can be better prepared and understand this kind of threat, as I'm going to show in this presentation. The threat is really growing, and based on the trends that we see, and I'll show the numbers, we have about 15% increase of the threats every year. So let's get going. Okay, so before we talk about all the things that ransomware is, first we want to set up the scene and put up the terms in order for everybody to understand what is that ransomware. So what is that? It's a malicious software that runs on the computer and it does certain things on the computer. So we'll go over those elements. Okay. So what it does after it's uploaded to the computer, can be any kind of endpoint, can be even a smartphone or tablet, a laptop or computer, PC, Mac, Macintosh. It will try to disable any kind of detection mechanism that you have and avoid detection in order to prevent its presence. Then it will try to move what's called lateral movement. It will try to move from one computer to another computer in order to spread all over, in order to increase the magnitude, the impact on the organizations, and encrypt all the computers that are available, including shared folders, backups, and everything that the a computer can access. The ransomware will try to access those places. The next step will be to encrypt the data. And so you won't be able even to recover the data. So in some cases we say, okay, I can use backups. Yes, of course, if you have a good backup, you may try to restore from the backup. But apparently this is not enough. So let's move on. And we'll ask, of course, for Bitcoins and ransom. That's what's called ransomware, because it's two words that they combine together, the ransom and malware, which ransomware is a variant, or it's in the family of malware, malicious software that runs on the spread all over the internet now. And then steal the data, meaning later on can use the data. So let's say if you don't pay the ransom, they will release this data, your data, to the internet. So you won't be able to do anything about it once it's sold. And they will try to cash how much money they can get from this activity. And of course, we'll stay resident. So even we'll try to delete it. You do all the capabilities in your ability to remove that threat. It might be still on the network somewhere hiding. And the only way for you to completely remove it is basically reinstall everything from scratch in order to remove that threat. Okay, so let's talk about, after we understand and we have the common ground about ransomware, let's talk about the entry point. And what are the common entry points? And of course, it's email, can come either as a in links. So you get an email about a shipment or about something else, it doesn't matter for that matter. And once you click on that link, it will download the payload. It's a small piece of malicious code that later on will download all the rest of the package of the ransomware, or can become as an attachment in a PDF document or any kind of office document and run itself. The second piece is RDP. I don't know if everybody is familiar with RDP. It's remote desktop protocol, which used with Microsoft in order to remote connect to typically to servers in order to manage them or to use them in a terminal server. And the RDP, it's, and we see it in 99% of reviews, firewall reviews that we do, we found that the firewall is misconfigured, and one of the findings that RDP is open for everybody to come in. And we can help anybody that is watching us. You can talk to us and we'll try to help you how to help you with preventing this kind of firewall misconfiguration. Of course, web. So if we browse the internet, we go to different sites. Some sites are breached already. And when you browse the internet and you download the page, everything that the page, behind the page, there is a code, and that code is being rendered on your computer without your knowledge. And then it can do different things. It can do mine bitcoins, for instance. This is a known attack. It's called the mining through the web. And then social media. So if you go to social media, any kind of Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever, and you get messages, you can get links on those messages. Once you click on that link, it's a way to get in. And of course, messenger apps, including, let's say, for instance, Facebook Messenger or any kind of like WhatsApp, they have the desktop application that you know from your phone. You can have it on your computer so you can view the messages both on the phone and on the computer on the app. And this is how to get in. Next, we're going to talk about ransomware, how an email looks like as a ransomware. So for instance, in this case, and many people just only looking at the display name, when it says FedEx package, this is the display name. And in many email software, it's not going to show the rest of it, which is the email address. And typically, the domain name from the company FedEx will show here, but this, in this case, we see clearly that it's not coming from FedEx. And if the users cannot identify this, you have a big problem and you need to train them. And again, we can help you with the training, training your customers how to identify ransomware attacks. And also you can see here, they send an attachment. It's a zip file. In some cases, they will try to hide the zip and will do different, will give it different names or different extensions. In the end of the day, it's a zip file. When you open it, and this is what I did, I opened the file, and as you can see, it's a JavaScript encoded script file that once you double click that, it will run on the computer and beginning download all the payload from the attacker site. Okay, so let's talk about some numbers here. As you can see here, 78%, I'm looking here at item number 3, jumps in attack supply chain. So this is very big. If we think about the SolarWinds attack, that 18,000 companies were exposed through the supply chain attack. Also another interesting statistic here, 14 seconds, it's the frequency of attacks. It was actually an increase, if you will, from the end of 2016, which was 40 seconds, the frequency of ransomware or malware attacks. And then 76% here says that the organization that believe that they are likely to become a victim of a malware attack in the next year. And then from those, more than half, they say that they know they won't be able to detect it on time. And again, this is very important piece. There's two items to talk about, and we'll speak about this. It's about the detection and remediation. So if you are subscribed to getting alerts from, let's say, from the CISA, Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, they send alerts, they give you different kind of tools and information in order to improve your cybersecurity posture, including the FBI and the HHS if you are a healthcare organization. Okay, so let's talk about the threat landscape. Let's understand what is exactly going on with those threats out there. So, living off the land technique to evade detection. So, this is a typical way how to enter an organization without being noticed. Using tools like PowerShell, for instance, or PSExec, that any kind of admin that using those tools in order to manage their environment will use that in order to do typical management, installing packages, changing settings, and so forth. They will use those tools in order to manage, and this is typically on Microsoft Windows environment, including servers and workstations. The next is automated compromise, followed by human-led farming. This is if you look at the SolarWinds, so they automated the entry, but then they continued with hackers on the keyboard in order to continue the penetration. And we'll talk about this as a case study soon in the next slides. And then backup, encryption to force ransom payment. So those ransomware, as I discussed it earlier, they will try to encrypt not only your data, your files on your documents, your desktop and everything, shared folders. It will encrypt, will look for backup folders and files, and will try to encrypt the backups. So now you need to protect the backups as well. It's not enough to have a backup in one place. You need to have a backup in another location, and you need to protect that location from getting access to this backup. And the Samsung ransomware was known and still known to be looking for those kind of the backup files in order to encrypt them. And then exploitation of third-party vendors in the supply chain. Again, we are going back to SolarWinds. Becky was with a target that the hackers were able to hack the Havoc system, and then from the Havoc system, they jumped into the target machine, target systems, and the target case was in back in 2013. And now with the SolarWinds that they discovered in December 2020. And this is where we see the increase attacks in the supply chain. Okay, so now let's talk about some of the trends, as I mentioned earlier. So you see, this is the trends over the past 5 years. It's about 15, on average, 15% increase over each year, meaning it's impossible to handle it in the way we handled it before, and we need a different approach. So, what is as the defenders, we have a big challenge here. How do we continue and maintain the security posture? What we need to do in order to be effective in that? So, of course, we want to defense. We want to put defense mechanisms that would prevent attacks and reduce the risk from known threats. And typically, we do it by, using antivirus solutions, which they're great for what is called the pass, but they are not very effective, and I would say not effective at all when it comes to the recent attacks, like with the zero day that nobody knows anything. You don't have a signature, therefore you cannot detect it. And of course, we want to discover the unknown threats. Those are really the most important pieces because you need to have what is called a legacy protection, the antivirus and anti-malware solutions. But on the other hand, you want to detect as soon as possible those that are not detectable in a signature-based, but they are using different techniques like behavior, right? If you do certain things or certain actions, then I want to know what's going on with those actions. This is exactly where I want to see the detection in place. And again, we can help you with that with our service, what is called threat hunting, that we can talk about this days and nights. Okay, the next item is remediate. We want to remediate the incident as soon as possible. And actually, this comes in the FBI and CISA recommendations. We'll talk about this. We call it common mitigations, and that you need to have some sort of a incident response plan. And again, if you don't have one, you want to improve what you have, or you want us to test it, please come to us and we'll help you with that as well. So let's talk about two case studies. The first one is Equifax, and I love this case because it shows the major problem that we have. So as you can see, in the beginning of March, Apache Struts releases an update about a vulnerability in their web server. And of course, Equifax failed to install that patch. And they had 5 months, those hackers, to penetrate, steal the data, sell it out there on the dark web, monetize that steal. And Equifax didn't do anything during this time. They couldn't detect it. And the FBI tells us that it takes about 2 months to detect an attack. So this is kind of the things where I love this case study, because it shows really the issue at hand. This first is to know what is out there and use the research that it's been available publicly. And then once you have the workaround in the form of a patch, you install the patch right away. And of course, installing that patch would prevent all of this breach, but this is not enough because they didn't detect it at all. Only in July, in the end of July, they were able to detect the breach, and the same day they installed the patches. I mean, after what happened, it took them a day just to fix the issue. And then they went to crisis management. What happened later on, the CEO had to step down, the CIO, the CISO, everybody had to step down because of this, the consequences of this attack, including reducing their credit score, and their stock went down huge following that this attack. The next case study that I want to discuss is the SolarWinds, which is very fresh in our minds. It just happened now. And this is how to show you how threat actors, TA, work when it comes to attack. They don't move very quickly, as you can see, based on the months and the days here. You see, and this is again based on the forensic data that were collected from SolarWinds systems, they could understand what happened. And again, not to say that this is incorrect, it might be that they already were there even longer than this time, the discovery that they published. So they had the time to test it, they had the time to inject the code, just to remind everybody what they did. They were able to penetrate using the password SolarWinds 1234, if I'm not mistaken. So make sure to change your passwords as soon as possible. And of course, they wrote a DLL. It's a piece of software that was later on deployed and pushed to all the customers that using specific software. If you want to know, you can go to SolarWinds website and see if you are being affected by it. And of course, if you're using SolarWinds, and later on SolarWinds in December, they notified about this, the Sunburst attack. This is how it's been named. So it took them more than a year just to identify this kind of attack. This is a very, very long time. And now you can imagine what kind of attack on the supply chain to their customers means. They went to SolarWinds, it's been used by government bodies, used by any kind of commercial companies. And we can also mention FireEye, which is a security company that was breached. We have another company, security companies, that was breached 2 days ago, SonicWall, also a breach. They're using their own solutions because they believe in the solution, which is perfect, but they were hacked with a zero-day attack. So again, we cannot rely anymore on those traditional solutions. And I know many people that I speak to, they say, okay, you know, we have AV solution from this kind, we're gonna move to another one. And I have many examples of those. When customers had, let's say, McAfee, for instance, Symantec, and the Symantec shows everything green, but once we install our solutions, our threat hunting service, we found so many threats out there that was crazy. And then the other customer that we did, we replaced the Sophos endpoint protection that they had, and we started to they started to get so many alerts. I said, how come we didn't get any kind of threats alerts about what we have now? And suddenly we get so many. I said, well, that's what's happening. We're trying to improve our services to our customers and give them a better value. And then SolarWinds again released a software fix, and then there was a CISA issued a alert about this, and everybody hope know what happened with this case. Okay, so let's move to what our objective as a defenders. Well, what we need to know. We want to discover attacks on sensitive data assets and neutralize incidents before they become a breach, right? This is what we want to do. As soon as we see the threat, we want to kill it right away. We don't have the time, because every minute that passes by, it's going to cost us so much that we want to do it quickly as possible. Okay, so let's talk about discoveries. Okay, what are the common discoveries that we use in order to discover threats and vulnerabilities, right? We do all kinds of penetration testing and vulnerability assessments. We try to attack the web application. We are trying to attack the firewall. We do some scans internally, and then we get a big list of vulnerabilities, and they are sorted from high to low, and everybody says, okay, let's address them from the high, medium, and low. And obviously it has some advantages, and in other cases it just, you know, check mark on our compliance requirement that we need to do all those tests, but really, do they really help us? And then we're talking about phishing campaigns. So with those phishing campaigns, you send an email, okay, I clicked an email, so now I know if the user, I know the problem with the user if he clicked the link. So I know we open it, he did something, because I get the reports. But is it really sufficient to know that? Do we really know more about it? What about our workstation? What about incident response? Did we test those? So what are the common mitigations? As I mentioned earlier, the FBI and CISA says, okay, you should back up. Yes, you should back up. You should separate backups. You need to prevent from have a way to save the information in a way that's going to be one way. And again, if you want to speak with us, we can help you with that, to segregate networks in a way that it's only one way. Updates, this is, of course, goes without say. You need to have a patch management system and a patch management process where you patch all the systems religiously, I say it, because it's very important to update systems. And again, if you don't have patch management or patch management policy, we can help you with that. Security solutions. So in that recommendation, they said, okay, you need to update, make sure that the antivirus solutions and anti-malware are up to date. And so let's say they're up to date, and let's say you get some sort of a zero day, but until you get the update, it's enough time to cause a damage. So it's not enough. We already spoke about this. And again, if you want to speak with us, what we do in those items, like the threat hunt, it comes and close that whole of the security solutions. Incident response plan, we mentioned it earlier. You need to have an incident response plan. Who does what, where, how, all of those questions needs to be answered. And again, if you need help developing this plan, contact us. Ransomware events. So you need to learn from past ransomware events, see what happened with those specific ransomware types, because on every day, they start in the morning, and by the end of the day, they have a ransomware campaign. It's a zero day for everybody. Nobody knows this ransomware. It's a new thing. And then you are you don't know what to do, and you need to learn from those past events in order to reduce, right? We're talking about risk management. We need to reduce the risk, the exposure. So I'm going to talk about our way how to handle ransomware, the army style ransomware. Now, I served in the Israeli military in the Navy for 3 years, and I want to show you what we did. We did four things. We did constant drills, and those drills were live on live ammunition. We did those tests to make sure that all the soldiers know how the rifle works, what kind of sound it makes. Now you have the tears, you have the sweat, you understand what's going on. You are closer to live, real war, and therefore you are better prepared when the real thing comes. This is what we do. We do this in order to be better prepared. We all use intelligence. So let's say if we know that something is coming, if we get an alert about an attack, if we have a feed, like I got this feed about SonicWall, so I was able to send a message right away to, we have one customer actually that uses SonicWall, and send them an email, you know, this is something that it's out there, you need to be on the lookout, and we're gonna have a conversation with them, how to help them with this case. Constant learning from past events is one of the recommendations, CISO recommendation, to learn from ransomware events, past events. This is what we do. We had a huge book with all the cases that happened before. And now you read all those cases and you understand, okay, this is what the scenario, the situation, the soldier were, and what they did in order to mitigate the threat, right? If you think about it, army and well, physical security, I would say, and cybersecurity, they have a lot in common. So I'm using my army background in order to inject my experience to the cybersecurity area. And of course, opening our eyes to and ears to the unusual, and this is what goes to the threat hunt. So you don't have a signature, but now you need to look for some sort of an actions, right? You need to see what it does, the threat. So what are we offering? We are offering malware attack simulation army style. We want to answer these questions. Is my org ready to fend a predefined attack? Which again, we're talking about a ransomware. And the answer should be yes or no. Well, you cannot be something in between. So how we do that? We want to test how your incoming filtering mechanism works, right? If your email system can spot a phishing campaign, for instance, the links or attachments. If it doesn't, then it's going to come to your employee. So now it will be rendered in the workstation. So how the workstation works, right? What kind of logging you have? Any kind of file permission? Can I execute any kind of processes? Right? Can I be alerted about it? What is my antivirus and anti-malware effectiveness, right? If it can detect whatever I'm running, if I'm going to run a JavaScript or I'm going to run a malware or kind of PowerShell or PSExec, if I'm going to run anything else like that, would my endpoint protection will be able to detect it and prevent it, of course, but at least detect it. Let's say not prevent, but at least detect it so I know it's there. And of course, my team, how my team will respond to this kind of attack, how they will be able to uproot this kind of attack. They have the tools, they have the knowledge and so forth, how quickly they can do it. So this is our style. This is what we offer for anybody that is watching this session. Okay, any kind of pitfalls, and you're going to ask, okay, so I'm not getting any kind big list of vulnerabilities. Yeah, vulnerabilities are very important because installing those patches on your system, it's important you do that already. But we're not going to give you a big list of things to do or big list of findings. We'll go straight to the point where you have the weaknesses. We're going to not test the web application. There's no point to test web application, right? Again, we're going to those areas because people are always looking. And by the way, we do penetration testing on a regular basis. And customers are limiting us and said, okay, you know, just pen test the firewall, but do it very gently, don't take it down. Or for instance, they have a web application, you know, do like a scan the surface, don't discover too much. We just want to check back the compliance and say that we did those tests. Our tests are not in the compliance area. We are really here for the real thing. We're really trying to find the weak spots and fix those. And of course, firewalls, 99% of firewall audits that we do, we find misconfiguration. So we talked about the RDP, that it's open for everybody. If you open RDP, you need to do it in a specific way. But firewalls, again, so people are changing to next-gen firewalls, thinking that this is going to prevent the next attack. Not exactly. It will help, yes. But now with the COVID issue and COVID era, we don't know when this COVID will end. So people will continue working from home. So really, replacing firewalls won't help you. The problem is where the data is being decimated, being read, being created, meaning on the endpoint, on the desktop or the laptop or whatever you're using there. So if you're interested with our way, the Army style, please send an email to mas@2secure.biz. Make sure to put in the subject line MAS. We know that you're talking about MAS. Please include the business signature with a time to speak, and of course we have some restrictions applying. So if you're interested, please send the email to mas@2secure.biz, subject line MAS, include your signature information and the time that it's convenient for you to speak with us, and we'll take it from there. Thank you very much for watching. I'll stay now for some questions. If anybody has some questions, please let me know.